Good morning, Western Wisconsin. Let's see what we're up to. Let's see what's happening in the arts, music, and culture. Found where we live, a region densely dotted with people and places where it all unfolds. And we talk with them. The famous, the not yet famous, and the never want to be famous. It's good to have you along on Spectrum West for the ride each Thursday morning here on the Ideas Network stations, and again Friday evenings on Stations of the News and Classical Music Network. I'm Al Ross. I have the privilege, along with my trusty partner Jim Oliver, of spending time with those people and at those places to bring you the stories of what they do, how they do it, why, and when they do it. Today, it's more than just becoming a human pretzel. Yoga is what you make it, and it's a custom fit, even for young children. They can try it on for size at the Phipps Center in Hudson, and Lisa Marie Vanderwist is here to fill us in. Wisconsin Public Television loves Sewing with Nancy, and the feeling is mutual. Nancy Zeman is back with more on her career and news about the big quilt expo coming soon to Madison. Jim Oliver will share another spirited discussion with Don Hodgins of Fanny Hill about their next production, and let's pop the top on this edition of Spectrum West with beer. Yes, at 10 o'clock in the morning. Minnesota and Wisconsin both like beer. It's enjoyed. It's brewed in our neighborhoods. Craft beers. The little guys are enjoying a level of acceptance that goes down as smoothly as a cold and frothy stein on a hot summer day. And now Somerset, Wisconsin is set to host the second annual Border Battle Beer Festival. How do you get through another day without finding out more? You don't. So we phoned Stacy Duke, who's involved in marketing that event. Well, Minnesota and Wisconsin do work together on a few things. Not many. You know, they're okay with building bridges and accepting college students from each state, but that's about it. The rest, as you know, is a skirmish. It's a melee, a confrontation. And now beer is the battleground, or maybe it's the weapon. I know it's brewer against brewer, but you know there's going to be bragging rights attached to the state that wins. So tell me how this idea bubbled up.
Somerset, Wisconsin is right on that border between Minnesota and Wisconsin. We really wanted to create something that, you know, kind of was off of that rivalry between the two states. And so we figured, you know, since craft beer is so big, we wanted to create something that would allow people to taste both in Minnesota and Wisconsin craft beer that they might not get to taste in their liquor stores.
We have to be very meticulous when we say the word craft, because on the radio and on the telephone, it can sound like another word. That would
yeah.
be good. Yeah. So, yeah. You have nearly 70 varieties going to be featured at the Border Battle. So much beer, so little time, story of my life. Drop some names for us, would you please?
Yeah, definitely. You know, from Wisconsin, we will have Central Waters out of Amherst. We'll be tasting some of the Brady's Brew House brews from New Richmond. And then along with Rush River out of River Falls, we'll be tasting a lot of their, you know, great beers, such as their Lindale Brown Ale. Minnesota, Liftbridge, they have a lot of great beers out of Stillwater, Excelsior Brewing Company, and Indeed out of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
It's funny because craft brewers, you know, they love the job of naming their beers, don't they?
Yes, yes, definitely. Yes, I know Liftbridge has, you know, a couple really fun ones. They have the Hop Dish. We all know Minnesota for our Hot Dish.
Sure.
They decided to take that, you know, wonderful hoppy beer and name it the Hop Dish.
Cool. And, of course, in Wisconsin, there's Totally Naked. How is voting going to take place?
Well, we have, you know, a select panel of judges that really kind of go behind the scenes that are into that craft beer industry. So they'll go around and taste from, you know, a select amount of beers from each of the breweries, and they'll choose the one that, you know, they like best. So we have a Golden Firkin that is given away by the judges for the beer that wins. And then we also have a People's Choice Award that is given out that the public can actually do some voting from.
Sure. A little bit about, if you would, Stacy, the Somerset Amphitheater as a venue choice. I mean, they have, from what I read, a new festival area. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, Somerset Amphitheater is a very big venue, and they really wanted to make a smaller, sort of a smaller amphitheater in the, you know, larger amphitheater area. So they have an area cut out that has a saloon that, you know, serves beer, serves wood-fired pizza, and that will be where our VIP, folks will be tasting some beer in there.
Sure.
And then the amphitheater area is just a nice, smaller, intimate area within that larger venue.
And the amphitheater is right on the Apple River, isn't it? That must be pretty.
Yeah, definitely. Right on the Apple River, right across from the, Apple River tubing area, right outside of town, so really easy to get to.
And you mentioned the VIP area. There are several levels at which people can participate?
Yes, yep, definitely. The general admission ticket is $25. The VIP ticket is $45. And then we also, don't want to leave people out if they're not drinking, so we have a $10 designated driver.
And you mentioned wood-fired pizza as one of the delectabilities. You also have food. Is there other stuff you want to whet our appetite with?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we'll have, kind of to go along with the whole rivalry of Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be serving fried walleye sandwiches for the people from Minnesota. And then we will be serving cheese curds. And, of course, having some chicken wings as well.
You know, I've had good walleye in Wisconsin. That's another area that we could compete on. I mean, is Minnesota known for walleye? I guess I didn't know that.
Definitely. Minnesota, Minnesota lakes are definitely known for the walleye fishing. So.
They are. Okay. Well, I think that's the case here, too, although I'm not a fisherman. So there's another, gauntlet to throw down.
We'll have to do that next year. Some walleye, Minnesota walleye versus Wisconsin walleye.
What the heck?
Yeah.
There's a brew bus ride as well, and I thought, make somebody say brew bus ride fast three times to determine their condition.
That'll be one of our challenges for the day.
Brew bus ride, brew bus ride. It's not easy to say it fast. So tell me about the bus situation. That's kind of a nice arrangement, yeah?
Well, especially for folks that are driving from the Twin Cities, we really wanted to, have something for them to be encouraged to go out and taste some beers, in Somerset, Wisconsin without having to drive. So we're giving attendees a chance to safely ride to and from the festival on a bus. And Excelsior Brewing Company is helping us out with that. And so they will leave the Excelsior Brewing Company tap room and then hop on the bus to Somerset Amphitheater for Border Battle Beer Fest.
This is the first annual? Did I ask you that?
This is the second annual Border Battle Beer Fest. First time that we are doing the brew bus.
Oh, okay. How's it different than the first? What did you learn from the first?
The first was great. We had a lot of great beers. I would say, we just learned to really make the VIP area in itself a more educational experience. There's always, those VIP tents that you get, free beer and free food. But we really wanted to showcase some of the breweries that were involved in Border Battle Beer Fest and allow them to do specific demonstrations or, beers infused with, certain types of hops to really allow people in the VIP area more of an educational beer experience.
Sure. Forgive me if you've already mentioned it, but there's going to be music, too, as well.
Yeah, there will be music. We have Walker Fields coming out to do a performance during Border Battle Beer Fest. After the beer fest is over, people will get a chance to stay and listen to the MTVs, and then we'll also have some DJ music in between the bands that we'll be playing.
Ah, and there's quite a colorful and descriptive website. Can you give us the address?
Yep, it's www.borderbattlebeerfest.com.
Well, now that makes sense.
It does.
The name
Why
right in the website.
You?
Boy, you guys are good.
Yeah, you can also camp, too, if you don't want to drive home. So
oh, you can.
That's always a good perk.
And this is Saturday, September 7th, and I guess you can camp, the whole weekend, huh?
You definitely can, yep. You can pull in on Friday, enjoy the festival grounds. There's permanent bathroom showers, sand volleyball courts, and a general store if you forget anything.
Very cool. Saturday, September 7th, the Border Battle Beer Fest, Somerset Amphitheater in Somerset, Wisconsin. Stacy Duke, thanks for being with us here on Spectrum West. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Ah, the rights of summer. And it's good to have a neighbor who likes a lot of the same things we do, except for colors like green, gold, and purple, combinations of which and on which we disagree fervently. This is Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross. So nice of you to be with us today. Support for WPR comes from Wisconsin Credit Union, offering home mortgage applications online as well as information about the process, payment amounts, title insurance, mortgage insurance, and more. More at wisconsincu.com. www.simplydoneindownsville.org.
Support also comes from Simply Done in Downsville, a place for gifts, ideas, and space. Home of Dunn County Pottery, featuring wood-fired pottery in a local and fair trade gallery. Details at simply-dunn.com.
Support also comes from Festival Foods, dedicated to making grocery shopping easier for all shoppers with the introduction of pink, yellow, and green boomerang buy tags throughout the store. Festival Foods, a Wisconsin-grown company.
Spectrum West with a Spectrum Memo. Don't forget the Alma Music and Arts Festival Sunday at the Marina in Alma. Artisans, food, and some great music. A lineup of, what, two, four, six? Yeah, six different acts. Pretty cool. Yours truly will be there having fun. And I'm emceeing with my good buddy Joel. Let's see, another Spectrum Memo Volume 1 has presented the Sounds of Summer, Sounds Like Summer concert series at Phoenix Park in downtown Eau Claire. Tonight, Thursday night, the final one of the summer featuring Erie Soul, I hope that's pronounced right, I-R-I-E, Beacon James, and Jesse Gonzalez. Starts at about 6:30, plus appearing at the Volume 1 World Headquarters Friday evening, August 30th. It's the Michael Rambo Project, and that is at 7 p.m. Well, if you've ever caught a conversation between our own Jim Oliver and Don Hodgins of Fannie Hill Dinner Theater, you know it can come to sound like a couple guys at a class reunion who were best friends and haven't seen each other for several decades. It's fun, full of energy, and includes a ton of information. And if you're ready, here goes.
Barefoot in the Park, a play by Neil Simon, will open Thursday at Fannie Hill Dinner Theater in Eau Claire. The play, which had its original opening in New York in October of 1963, will play through November 3rd. Joining us to talk about Barefoot in the Park and everything else that's going on at Fannie Hill is Don Hodgins, who is executive director and all sorts of other stuff at Fannie Hill and director of Barefoot in the Park. So welcome back to Spectrum West.
Well, thank you much.
So, well, what is it that you like about Barefoot in the Park, this 50-year-old play that you're writing?
Well, what's not to like about it? You know, I was going to load you with a pop quiz. I think I'm going to give it to you anyway, Jim.
Okay.
Can you name a play that has also been a movie and a television show?
Well, let's see. Yes, I can.
It is a trick question, though.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, I know The Odd Couple, but...
That's right, and this is the other one, as a matter of fact. These are the only two that I know, both by Neil Simon. How about that?
Yeah.
And actually, I just found out, there was a television show back in the 70s, Barefoot in the Park, was by the name. Actually, 1970 was the date that it ran.
Okay.
It had the honor of being the first primarily black show on television.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, I mean, you had to go back to Amos and Andy, I guess, was the...
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, besides that, the movie I think we're all aware of with Robert Redford and Jane Fonda, and then, of course, the play was a big hit when it was on Broadway, too.
Mm,
so
true.
I'll go back to my statement, what's not to like about it? I mean, it's about two young people getting married and just starting out. He is kind of a stuffed shirt, and she is a free spirit, and what else has to be said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But there's complications. We have a doting mother, and then we also have a mysterious neighbor who lives in the attic above them, who is a real character known as the Bluebeard of 48th Street. So it's all this put together is Barefoot in the Park, a very, very funny, one of my favorite romantic comedies.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a couple of the characters. I was just going to say, you know, from an actor's perspective, is there really a bad role to play in this show?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I've got one role where the guy's got one line, and to watch his performance and the amount of laughs he gets in the total of about 3 minutes that he's on stage is pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a delivery guy. Now you got to picture
that,
these guys. They live on it's a fifth floor walk up, so they got all these stairs, and then this guy has to carry all these packages upstairs. So his line is actually off stage, down when he first comes up the stairs. Mm-hmm. All he does is breathe heavy and try to communicate with people when he's on stage, and it's hysterical.
And there's an interaction between him and the telephone man.
There is. Yes, they share misery, and then the telephone man is another one of those roles. He's on a little bit more, but he comes in into one of the big arguments between the main characters mm-hmm. and stuff, and is privy to that, and also interjects in that, and it's great. Yeah, yeah. Simon knows how to write small roles. He really does.
He just
everybody gets, you know, gets their laughs in, mm-hmm. you know.
So, you know, I was thinking about this the last show I think we talked about was a farce, and we talked about the difference between farce and comedy. This really isn't a farce, though, is it?
This is a comedy. Yeah. You could see this happening. I mean, there's some things that are a little bit out there, but for the most part, and Neil, I think, writes accessible characters. His plot lines are very plausible mm-hmm. and stuff. And I think that's one of the big separations between comedy and farce, is that farce tends to make the improbable probable, I guess, or the impossible probable, however you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. And comedy deals with stuff that you could see on the street.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Who do you have in this cast with all these wonderful roles?
Actually, we've got a real good cast. I'm real, real excited to be working with these people. Courtney Everett, she's actually an on-air personality with one of the television stations here in town. Mm-hmm. Timothy Carter, who has done a couple of things out at the Hill. Most notably, he was in Weekend Comedy, one of the surprise hits of this year that was earlier. My wife, Lois Hodgins, will be playing the mother, and she's reprising this role. She has done it before. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing the goofy neighbor upstairs. Go figure.
Victor Velasco.
That's right. Mr. Velasco upstairs. Yes. As you, well, of course, they can't see, but you can see I'm growing the goatee in for the guy. So, you know, because he is middle European, I guess, is the best way to put him. So he's and he's a character. And then the two small roles, Christopher Cuter, who's a Fanny Hill veteran, is playing one of the delivery guys, and to watch him in this little tiny role, and he's a master at eking out every possible laugh out of every possible moment on stage, and it's a real treat to watch mm-hmm. him. And then the cast is rounded out by Paul Blair, who plays the telephone man. Mm-hmm. He's our stage manager out at Fanny Hill, but he's also an actor, did some notable things when he was at the university here in town, and has done a few things on stage for us, too. So great bunch of people, and everybody just loves working on this show.
He is Don Hodgins, who is director of the Fanny Hill Dinner Theater production of Barefoot in the Park. Well, what's coming up at Fanny Hill, if I needed to ask?
After this, it's time for Rudy again. It's Christmas, and we're doing A Carol of a Christmas. Mm-hmm. In this particular rendition of Rudy, he gets visited by the ghost of sitcoms past, who tries to help him refine the magic and the meaning of Christmas through... Mm-hmm. Adventures in some pretty well-known characters and stuff. So it's a real cute show, and again, holiday theme. We can talk a little bit about 2014. We're going to be bringing back our Elvis show by popular demand. People wanted to see him again. George Thomas, unbelievable energy, unbelievable talent, and we're very excited to be having him back again. Mm-hmm. We're doing a show called Beer for Breakfast. It's about four guys that get together once a year up in a cabin. Well, this year, three of them show up. Fourth doesn't, but his wife does. There's your complication. Ooh. Over the summer, we're going to be doing Church Basement Ladies, The Second Helping. This is the second in the series of the Church Basement show. Mm-hmm. We did the first show a few years back. Mm-hmm. Then in fall, we are doing Driving Miss Daisy. And then next Christmas, it's a show called Every Christmas Story Ever Told. It's about a group of actors that get together. They're going to be doing the Christmas Carol and decided we can't do it again. We have to do something else. So they start visiting all the Christmas stories, traditions and everything. It's one of those grab a hat, I'm the Grinch, grab another hat, I'm now Santa kind of shows. So it's a lot of quick changes. Very, very funny. And I did forget one. In retrospect, we're also doing Lombardi, the Vince Lombardi show.
Oh, yeah, that's been pretty popular.
And we're going to be doing a limited run of that show. Real excited about the season. And we're also going to be doing some other things in between the main stage shows. So we're going to have to, not ready to announce all that yet, mm-hmm. but we got some interesting things coming up.
Now, it seems to me you told me one time that you were working on another Rudy play. What's the deal with that?
I'm percolating. How about that? Okay, in the percolating stage yet. I've got some ideas kicking around. You know, at one time I was actually, the working title was Rudy's Last Christmas.
That's
not ready for that.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, no, it's still, the idea is still kind of forming, and I'm actually tweaking some of my other ones to get them out. I think we've talked about my You Better Watch Out, which was the first show I did, is published, and about every Christmas since the mid-90s, I've had at least one production of it somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But I want to get the other ones out there. I think they're worthwhile scripts, and, you know, a lot of places are looking for holiday comedies, so I'm kind of tweaking them, polishing them before I send them off for consideration.
Sure. Have you ever considered writing a non-Rudy play?
There is one.
Well, there is one.
Yes, it's called, oh gosh, now I'm blanking on the name here. It's a Mystery to Me. How about that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
there,
yeah, Rudy on a Cruise Ship. That's that.
Oh, so
that, yeah,
oh.
That, yeah, yeah. There is, and that one is, yeah, it's non-Christmas all the way. So, but I would like to get out of it. The reason I started in on writing was we were looking for Christmas comedies all the time, and it's like, my gosh, I can't find any that that our theater's capable of doing or that I would want to do.
Yeah.
And so that's where Rudy was born, out of a need for Christmas shows. So I've been writing the series of them and tailoring them towards the Fannie Hill Dinner Theater and the Christmas season. So it's kind of hard to step out of that.
You know, because some of the Christmas stuff that's done is not all that great, and I would think there'd be a tremendous market for, you know, more than one Rudy show.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And the problem is, you know, Christmas only comes once a year, although the first year I published the show, it was actually done in July. So, I know the Christmas in July thing, I've heard that before, but I didn't know what this holiday show. Yeah, I thought that was real interesting. I said, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Works for me.
Oh, boy. Well, one final thought here. You mentioned you're doing the Church Basement Ladies next show again, and I remember having this brilliant marketing idea for you, which you totally ignored, and I was just wondering if you perhaps have rethought that at all and perhaps serving lutefisk for...
Lutefisk dinner. Yes, I do remember that now. Yeah, let me say, that's on hold,
that's
Jim.
On hold.
That's still on hold.
Okay, you know? Well, I just thought I'd bring it up.
You know, I am Lutheran, and as a matter of fact, we rehearse at a Lutheran church. It's difficult to rehearse at the Hill while we're doing a show, so... Mm-hmm. It takes about a full 6 months to get the lutefisk out of the church after one of those dinners, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yes, indeed.
Let's just say that idea is on hold and under consideration.
Okay. Well, I don't happen to be a Lutheran, but I did grow up around a whole bunch of Lutherans, and so I know all about that stuff. Well, we've been visiting with Don Hodgins, who is director of the Fannie Hill Dinner Theater production of Barefoot in the Park. The show opens next Thursday, and we'll play weekends and selected weekdays through November the 3rd. Don Hodgins, thanks again for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
And thank you both. Always, like Don said, always a pleasure. This is Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross. A Spectrum memo. The Festival Theater has added an exciting concert to its fall schedule. Cellist Ed Willett and vocalist Cheryl Leah, known as Chance, the duet, will take the festival stage at 7:30 p.m. Saturday, September 14th. Tickets online at festivaltheater.org or at the box office by phone or email. Well, you know, in preparation for next week's program, I'll be talking with Aurelien Petiot, Elizabeth Petiot, and Yuko Kato on viola, voice, and piano, respectively. They have a new CD out. It is fascinating work, featuring three daring and delightful musicians. Here's a little bit of an hors d'oeuvre. Now that is just to simply demonstrate the uniqueness of this CD. The fun side, Elizabeth, Aurelien, and Yuko provide a series of 17 dulcet melodic tracks by several convincing, confident composers. It truly is exceptional, and I look forward to talking and hearing more about and from it next week. That should be a good time. Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio. Each year, one of Wisconsin's favorite things to do is take the drive to Madison for the annual Quilt Expo. It's coming up, and it's hosted, figuratively and literally, by Nancy Zeman, host of Sewing with Nancy, as seen on Wisconsin Public Television and by thousands of others across America and Canada. Her boundless energy and vision have created a realm that includes the TV program, production studios, a very successful mail-order business, and a new book, now getting the finishing touches. So much to talk about, so I picked up the phone.
Good morning, this is Nancy Zeman.
Nancy L. Ross, how are you?
I'm well, and you?
Good, good to talk with you again. It's fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. The last time we talked, I knew, Nancy, that you were a big deal on Wisconsin Public Television. I knew you were an enterprising individual, but this time I dug a little deeper. And
okay.
you are the Martha Stewart of the stitching set. I mean, I had no idea the extent of your quote-unquote empire. Nancy's Notions, kind of the Amazon of anchor stitches, the way I wrote it. Well, you've had over three decades under your belt now, 34 years to be exact, I guess.
Yeah, I've had a while to get it right.
It must be right then.
Yes, well, close to it. How
okay.
about that?
Yeah, never perfect.
No.
On your website, I saw a photograph of you standing in a dress in 1969.
1969, I was still in high school, just so we get
oh, yeah.
No,
that's cool.
Of a reference here. Yeah, I started Nancy's Notions in 1979, and it was a one-person dog and pony show. Uh-huh. I did everything from giving the seminars to filling mail orders in our second bedroom of a two-bedroom apartment. And I never in a million years thought that all these years later I would be doing the same type of thing, but only in different venues,
sure.
on the internet, on television. You know, I was in the right place at the right time and richly blessed.
Uh-huh. A couple of those buzzwords that I came up with were Princess of Patterns and and Lady of Ladder Stitches. Well, those are just, you know.
The alliteration is great.
Yeah. Out. Well, yeah, and you can tell I've done my homework.
Yes,
you know,
you
and
have.
Coming up with the word patterns, you know, I was looking at your website. You have patterns there. My mother was quite a seamstress. In fact, she used to sew clothes for us when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my mother unfolding her patterns, and they were on a crepe-type paper. It was real thin. You had to be careful. And then I remember her putting pins in the fabric through the pattern and cutting and stuff like that. Is that still the way it is? I mean, have patterns come further than that, or is that what they still do?
Many patterns are just like that. There are patterns online that you can download and tile together to make them the size that they need, but a pattern is a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need a size, you need a shape, and to get it onto fabric, it needs to be pinned and then cut. So that has stayed pretty constant over the years.
Mm.
Sewing machines and technology and computers, that's another story. You know, that's where the big advancements have been made.
I would guess somewhere in a factory they have a machine that shines, you know, a laser pattern down on a
on a
fabric and cuts it out and
for commercial uses.
Sure,
but
sure,
for
sure.
individual uses, you just want one of something.
Is there a most popular item that people are making today? I mean, what's the most popular pattern that you send out? Are they still making clothes for their kids?
Kids sewing has become again popular with the blogger moms, gals in their 20s and 30s and early 40s who are sewing for their kids. They're learning to sew through online lessons.
Mm-hmm.
But asking what's the most popular pattern is like saying what's the most popular thing to eat. You know, it depends upon your taste, your region. Some people are really into quilting, some dressmaking, sewing for their kids, sewing for their home, embroidering. It's a gamut. Anything that has to do with needle and thread, it's being done by someone somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Nancy just mentioned the word quilting, and we will get to that topic in a moment, the big quilt mm-hmm. expo that's coming soon to Madison. Nancy Zeman, our guest, Sewing with Nancy. See, all I have to do is say those three words and people go, oh, Nancy Zeman. No, I hear you. You can tell a doctor by the stethoscope around their neck. Seamstresses and seamsters, I guess, have a tape measure around theirs.
Mm-hmm.
I got that from your photograph. And that photograph is on the front of what you have as an autobiography coming out in early 2014.
Yeah, how about that? It wasn't something I planned to do at all, but Google made me do it.
Mm.
I kiddingly say that I have a facial paralysis since I was 1 year old, and certainly not the traditional person or the outward packaging to be on television. And on Google, one time I was typing in my name just to find something that we had put online, and up came Nancy Zeman stroke, Nancy Zeman face, Nancy Zeman smile. And I thought, oh, it's time to tell my story.
Sure.
Yeah, we're going to have at the Quilt Expo premiere launch, but everywhere else they'll be able to get the book in February.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has issues. I just happen to wear mine.
Despite it, you've done well. Not that it would hold you back in any way. Getting back to that 1969 photo, I guess it's in your book. That's from your debutante days. And under it, it mentions 4-H. Is that where this sewing business all began for you?
It certainly did. When I was 10 years old, I joined our local 4-H club and really found that this was something I enjoyed. I like working with my hands, always had, but my mother didn't really teach me to sew until I could go to 4-H. Then I found a real niche that I haven't stopped doing for many decades since.
Did you win a ribbon at a county fair?
Oh, sure. I won some blues, I won some reds, and I won some yellows, and they weren't yellow, pink and white. Oh. I've won them all. And the pink and white are the lower of the echelon.
Yes, I remember those. The third place, I think, was the white, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
So what county was that?
Winnebago County.
Oh, cool.
And kind of mid-eastern Wisconsin, and I grew up in a little small school community in Winnicottie. We're talking small-town America.
I know exactly where we're talking about. And now you're kind of centered in Beaver Dam. I'm thinking there must be a large sewing machine statue at the entrance to the city now.
No such thing,
not
Al.
Yet?
Nope.
Yeah, I think you ought to bring that up to the city council.
I hope that never happens.
Yeah, back to the old days. First place was a renovated chicken coop, I read.
Yes, the first warehouse after we moved out of our basement. Yeah, my father was a retired farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sick of walking up and down our basement steps, and he started paneling, put in indoor-outdoor carpeting. He was a meticulous farmer.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't your normal chicken coop that you may think of. And so he made, a nice warehouse for us.
Yeah, and since then you've grown into this large complex in Beaver Dam. You have impressive offices. You have a production center. You have a fulfillment center. Tell me about that.
A catalog goes out 13 times a year. And the orders come in, and then they're processed by people calling in, mailing in, or through the internet. In the warehouse, the orders are fulfilled and picked and packed. There may be Green Bay Packers, but we also have Beaver Dam Packers.
Oh, there you go. And you have sewing advisors available by phone.
Right. Yeah, Nancy's Notions, people can call if they have a sewing question or a product question. Very knowledgeable people are there to answer the phone to try to answer your question for you.
Supplies, patterns, fabric, embroidery, designs, books, DVDs, kits, threads, gifts, ideas, and advice.
There you go. You got it all wrapped up in one little package.
Yeah. Nancy Zeman is here, and we're going to talk now about the 9th Annual Quilt Expo. It's beginning September 5th, goes the 6th and 7th as well. Exhibition Hall, Alliant Energy Center in Madison.
It is a great collaboration with Wisconsin Public Television. They do, I have to say, a lion's share of the work. Great to use their network to help advertise this. Our offices work on the educational part. They work with the vendors. We have just a plethora of vendors. We use the whole Alliant Energy Center exhibit hall, and people can come and see the latest and greatest in machines, fabrics, notions, patterns, and it's fun. Mm-hmm. You know, about 18,000 people attended last year, and on Friday, it was so filled, you could just about feel the electricity in the air of the excitement. So if people think sewing and quilting is something of the past, they should just attend this just to look at the exhibit of the judged and juried show. There are over 300 quilts. Oh, my. They're so beautiful. We have professional judges judge and give the prizes out, but it's eye candy. It's so pretty to look at.
Wow. And there are quilts being made to donate.
Quilt to Give is our third year. I never thought we'd go beyond 1 year, but we make full-size quilts, a simple pattern that I have free online. In fact, someone in my staff right now is getting it all ready. Last year we made 27 or 30 full-size quilts, like from twin to queen, And we give these away to people who have had national disasters, personal fires at their home. We try to give them where they're needed, not just lap quilts, but something they can use in their bed that's new, it's pretty, it's bright. So people can bring in fabric, and if you're coming and you're listening, solid fabrics are what we need, solid colors, and they're bright, fun quilts, mm-hmm. and you can sit and sew for 20 minutes, for half an hour, for 2 hours, I don't care. Mm. We make it from start to finish.
UW Health is a partner, too. They have a heart-healthy program. I was wondering if quilting's good for you. Is there an aerobic side to quilting?
That's the problem with quilting. There's not an aerobic side. It's good for the mental part. It's a great stress reliever. But that's why UW Health has partnered with us all these years to encourage us who maybe like a sedentary hobby to get up and move. I like to take a walk every morning or take a swim, and we want to encourage everybody to include exercise, cardiovascular exercise, along with making something beautiful.
Sure. Well, some of those quilts are pretty big. You could have a quilt lifting contest.
Yes, we could build those biceps.
Yeah, no kidding. Lots of lectures and demonstrations. I mean, we don't have nearly the amount of time necessary to get this all out. There is a website. It is, again, September 5th, 6th, and 7th. What is the website?
WIQuiltExpo.com. Stands for Wisconsin Quilt Expo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're taking registrations online through Thursday. And then next week, if they just can come to the expo and register for classes or go to the exhibition center, they can make up their mind at the last minute and join us.
Spectrum West, the program on which we're speaking, deals with the arts and music and culture. There certainly is an artistic expression that goes with quilting, isn't there?
Oh, my. It's not your grandmother's patchwork quilt made from old shirts and maybe blue jeans. Many of the quilts that are made are worth tens of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And they rival any oil painting, drawing. They are artwork with needle and thread.
Mm-hmm. There's probably a lot of people out there. I was going to say women, but I shouldn't do that because there's a lot of men that...
both genders. Mm-hmm.
You know, young, middle-aged, empty nesters who are saying, you know, I'd like to do something with myself. I'd like to express myself a little more. Mm-hmm. Sewing's a good way to do it.
Oh, it is. In fact, one of our evening special events is... His name is David Taylor. He calls himself the reluctant art quilter. So, yeah, at any age, anybody can start, and you're choosing the fabric, the thread, the pattern.
Yep.
No one's dictating to you, and even if people start with the same pattern, rarely do they look alike.
Nancy Zeman, always a pleasure talking with you. Keep up the great work on your television program, and break a leg with Quilt Expo, and keep in touch with us, and we'll do the same.
Okay, thanks again for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Quilt Expo, September 5th, 6th, and 7th, Exhibition Hall, Alliant Energy Center, Madison, and Sewing with Nancy, Saturday mornings at 9 on Wisconsin Public Television. This is Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross. So nice to have you along today.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Ken Vance Volkswagen, featuring the new 2013 Volkswagen Jetta with the keyless push-button system, allowing drivers to start and unlock the Jetta without using keys. More at kenvance.com.
Support also comes from Visit Winona, where the scenic Great River Road leads to a summer full of hiking and biking adventures, blufftop panoramas to river valley scenes. Visit Winona.com. This is the year to discover Winona's outdoors.
September Artists of the Month at the Heidi Center include names like Beezy, Caradori, Gannon, Immerman, Raid, Servas, Schaefer, Sundby, and more. It includes pottery, stained glass, artworks, photography, fused glass sculpture, and more, as well as music and poetry readings. It's all September 4th through the 25th. There will be a reception for artists at the Heidi Center on Friday, September 6th, 7 p.m. Don't forget, the Bully Plays take the Heidi stage Saturday, September 14th, and Sunday the 15th. Everything Heidi is at cvca.net. Well, the Phipps Center for the Arts is well known and loved for its diversity of programs. Within its curriculum, the Phipps offers several classes in yoga. One of the mentors in this specialty is Lisa Marie Vanderwist, and one aspect of her tutoring is yoga for tots. I spoke with Lisa Marie on her role as a registered yoga therapist.
Being a registered yoga therapist means that there is a governing body known as the Yoga Alliance. And the Yoga Alliance has created a general structure and recommendations of classes and courses and certain knowledge that they want yoga teachers to have. So there are 200-hour yoga teacher training programs and 500-hour yoga teacher training programs. When someone is registered with the Yoga Alliance, it meets their requirements and recommendations.
Are there levels of certification, like, you know, black belts and brown belts? And
yeah, so the black belt of yoga certification would be the experienced 500-hour registered yoga therapist. So how you would see that in someone's qualifications is you would see the letter E for experience, the number 500, or 200 if they have the 200-hour, and then the RYT, the registered yoga therapist. So if you see an E500RYT, you have a black belt yoga instructor that has a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience. Those are the different levels. There are other training programs out there. Like YogaSit has a very popular yoga program, and they break it down into levels. So depending upon the place where someone is practicing, someone may have had a weekend YogaSit course, and the body that they're teaching in is allowing them to be an instructor with that level, weekend level course. YogaSit also goes up to have, I'm not sure how many different levels it is, I think it's five, and with their fifth level, then a teacher that has gone through their entire program obtained their 200-hour and can then apply to be the registered yoga therapist.
Just the term yoga therapist brings the word therapy into play. So therapy is therapeutic. What are people looking for? What are they looking to make better in their lives by participating in yoga?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I think everybody brings something different to the table. Some people are there for the mere physical component of it, and some people are there as a means. Maybe they're caught in a rat race of life and they're looking for something to slow them down. It puts you into focus with your body and your breath. And so when you're paying attention to your body and you're coordinating your movements with your breath, it's bringing you into a state where your mind is focused, which is the essential beginnings of yoga. Many people experience that. They experience the focused mind, a focused state, clear clarity in their thinking following a yoga class.
Now, you mentioned physical component of yoga. Does it loosen you up? Does it make you stronger? What?
Yeah, it does both of those things. The best yoga practice is a yoga practice that's balanced between strength and stretch. So not only is a yoga practice designed and intended to stretch out and lengthen your muscles, but it's also designed to tone and strengthen muscles. Whenever you're in a yoga pose, and this is a little anatomy because I like education. I'm a teacher by nature, have a degree in education. Every muscle has a pair. And so when one muscle is being strengthened, another muscle is being stretched. So in any and every yoga pose, you have those two pairs working in unison together. One is being stretched out, and then the other muscle pair is being strengthened.
We're talking with Lisa Marie Vanderwist. She is a certified yoga therapist, and we ran across her name because she participates in and mentors Yoga for Tots at the Phipp Center for the Arts in Hudson, in addition to other things. Lisa, with other disciplines out there, and I didn't know anything about Reiki, but I found it. Tai Chi, I've heard of. Don't know much about it. You know, they're all out there, and they're all saying, hey, come and try me. How does a person decide what's going to give the best results?
Each individual is so different, and I think the best way to know is to try it out and do an exploration. And in that exploration, being open-minded. Sometimes I've gone to classes and this is outside of the realm of yoga that I didn't care for initially. And it could be any number of things. It could be the fact that I wasn't in the right frame of mind for that class. It could be that the instructor had an off day. It could be that me and the instructor just weren't a good blend. And so I encourage, with all the modalities that are out there, to give it at least three tries before you make a decision and make your determination. maybe the fact that your consciousness isn't open or ready to receive whatever is being presented. We're all changing and evolving.
Interesting comment, though. I mean, I thought possibly participating in any of these wonderful exercises might insulate you from having an off day. But you said, man, an instructor could have an off day. So, but this doesn't make you invincible.
It definitely can bring people to that state. But who knows, maybe the class is an hour long and maybe your wheels have just been turning too hard too long that what you need is a full weekend retreat to bring your body back into balance and your mind back into focus.
I see. I said that kind of tongue-in-cheek. You know, a lot of people think, well, if I do yoga or if I do Reiki or Tai Chi or Kung Fu, or and that's, that, of course, was a TV show, they think that they're just going to, you know, life's going to be good. They're just going to skip through life, be flexible and be centered. And, well, I guess it helps.
Yeah, there's always the what you put into it is what you get out of it.
Yeah.
How are you showing up? How are you arriving? What are your expectations? Sometimes the best thing someone can do is let go of their expectations.
Of course, now I brought up Tai Chi and Reiki, and you are certified in Thai body work as well. You just have to find the one that's right for you, or are they all meant to do something a little bit differently, or do they just all compete on the same level?
Yeah, they definitely do have the same underlying principle in mind of to bring the body into balance, to create health and well-being and centeredness and wholeness. And some people achieve that one way and some people achieve that another way. My boyfriend is very highly energetic. To bring him into balance, he might need more activity. And Tai Chi is going to slow his wheels down to a point where his makeup is not meant to turn his wheels slow. So balance means different things. In that case, maybe martial arts, something more active.
Well, you participate, as I said earlier, in a program at the Phipps Center in Hudson, maybe several, in addition to Renee Lindquist, who I contacted, but she couldn't make it. She's been at the Phipps for 9 years. You teach or conduct classes in Tot yoga. Now, on your website, there's a little video in which you are doing some exercises with some Tots. And in the background, there's at least one Tot running around. And so that leads one to state that usually, you know, it's tough to get toddlers to sit still, much less sit still for a while. Does this take a real special kid? Will the more rambunctious youngsters reap the most benefit? Why yoga for Tots? What does it do for them?
First of all, yoga for Tots is designed for any and every child, and how each child responds to it is going to be different. The child who's running around in the circle might just be, they don't have the words to express how they're feeling.
Uh-huh.
So that child might just be so excited about what they're doing, and that's how they're showing it through their body, by running around in a circle around what we're doing. Other children are more timid and reserved and actually will watch and soak in what it is that the class is doing for the first few weeks before they feel ready to engage themselves, and other children jump right in. The program that I have designed is allowing the child to show up and be who they are. It's a class that is highly interactive. It's very based in songs and stories, and interweaved in those songs and stories are yoga movements, and interweaved in those songs and stories is a structure that suits a child's emotional, social, physical, and mental well-being. For example, we have the mats in a circle. And what the mats in a circle does for a child is it gives them a sense of belonging. Take an older group that are developing and establishing individuality, and you would not want them in a circle. You'd want them in lines and rows. We do songs where we hold hands and walk in circles, and that, again, is I belong here. I'm a part of this. We open each class by singing a song. Hello, everybody. So glad to see you. Hello, everybody. So glad to see you. And then we go on to sing each child's individual name, that there's that personal acknowledgement and validation. And then we go on to sing hello to the different body parts. Hello to my heart, so glad to see you. Hello to my belly, so glad to see you. Hello to my spine, so glad to see you. just the singing to the different body parts invokes a self-worth, mm-hmm. self-love, confidence. I'm so glad to see you, my heart. I'm so glad to see you, my belly.
I have to wrap this up, Lisa, but I'm interested in yoga. I'm interested in what it might do for me. Can you give us anything on the radio to do that might give us an indication that yoga is cool?
Yeah. Well, one thing that everyone can do is breathing. Yoga is a lot about breathing, and breathing is essential. It's the only function in your body that you can do consciously or unconsciously. And when you're doing it consciously, your cells are being nourished and saturated with oxygen mm-hmm. on the inhale. And when you exhale, there's toxins that are being released. And not only when you bring that awareness to your breath, it also creates a different state of mind. Just by paying attention to your breath, breathing fully and deeply, you are creating wellness on all sorts of different levels.
Yeah, I did read somewhere that if you're having trouble sleeping, that lying there and just concentrating on your breathing can do it for you.
Yeah, and I would like to mention and share that I'm hosting at the FIB a Tat Yoga class on September 7th from 11:30 to noon. It is open to the public. There is no fee involved. Come and check it out and enjoy yourself.
Well, I hope a lot of people do that. Lisa Marie Vanderwist, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And thanks to the FIP Center in Hudson for supplying us with so much information each week about what's going on there. If you live in the convenient proximity to Hudson, you have a real important resource in the FIPs. So I would take it in as much as you can. One of the Midwest's most renowned barbershop acts, Vocality, will perform for one night, Friday, August 30th, 7:30, at the Erica Kwong Memorial Theater in Shell Lake. Tickets reservable online at TITW.org or by calling the Theater in the Woods box office. That's at 715-468-4387. River Falls Public Library is hosting sand painter Michael Augustin in an unusual exhibit that's being created and will be destroyed when the show ends. He's making a presentation and demonstration Thursday the 12th at the library. He's going to be a guest on Spectrum West on next week's show. Hey, thanks, Hillary Crusan, for promotional help. And thank you guys for being here. And please accept an invitation to come back next Thursday at 10 a.m. or join us Friday evenings at 7 on the News and Classical Music Network stations here in Western, beautiful Western Wisconsin. By the way, no RSVP necessary. I'm Al Ross. Have yourself a safe and fun Memorial Day, yeah, Labor Day weekend. Don't I wish it was Memorial Day. We'll see you next Thursday and Friday.